Hey, it's the Real Estate Steps Podcast. Welcome to your number one resource for real estate information. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our new podcast called Real Estate Steps. And Real Estate Steps is hosted by MBA, you know, Nick, Bob, and Amir.
That's right.
And this is a lively podcast where we want to talk about the different things that are happening in real estate, trends, and what's going on. There's going to be a lot of different topics, a lot of good information. Stay tuned, and we're going to look forward to that. The first one we're going to talk about is trends. And with that is going to be Amir. So Amir, tell us, what's going on with trends in the real estate?
Well, 2018 was a very interesting year. So after 5 years of prices going up, we had first year in the last 5 years that summer months, we saw the price drop, which is not a very nice indicator. You know, that's a similar thing what happened before the crash. I don't assume that's going to be another crash, because in December we saw the spike in number of sales and prices going up now. So this is definitely the market changing position. You know, maybe going from sellers to buyers. We are still in strong sellers market, stating that we have a 50.4% absorption rate, and everything above 33% is sellers market.
So what's a 50% absorption rate?
Yeah, that would be actually absorption rate the inverse of months of inventory. And then the rate is measured as an inverse of months of inventory.
Oh, okay.
So, which represents how much of the current active listings as a percentage are being absorbed each month, if that makes sense.
So, Amir, Nick here. How many months of inventory are we seeing right now?
About 2 months.
About 2 months. So that's still a seller's market.
Yes, yes.
And you're talking about Sacramento County?
This is Sacramento County, yes. Talking about Sacramento County. I didn't pull the data for a whole state yet, but you know, we're basing pretty much the state on the Sacramento County combined, area combined, not only Sacramento County, plus El Dorado as well.
What's a what is a normal market as far as months of inventory? What do you consider normal?
Well, depending on what the definition of normal is. So in buyer's market, there's a different months of inventory versus sellers. So 2 months, two to six months is a healthy market. So back in 2009-10, we had like 18, 20 months of inventory. That was when we have a crash and we had lots of foreclosures and short sales out there.
Okay. Are we seeing a slowdown on days on market of houses? Are they taking a little bit longer?
Yes, the days on market actually went up. It is 59 days now average, and the numbers going up. Actually, I'm sorry, it's 37 days average in December last year, 2018. So, and the number of average days on market is it's going up, which is a sign of turning into the buyer's market.
Okay. So yeah. Now we saw double digit growth for the past 3 years, like, you know, 10%. Do you see us having another 10% growth this year, 2019?
Like I said, last 5 years we had the growth without any dropping prices. 2018, summer of 2018, that was the first summer when we saw the prices negative. I mean, the growth going down, the prices going down. So I don't think we're going to have double-digit growth this year, but it will go up. It will not go down. That's my prediction.
Okay. So then we can, all the Chicken Littles out there that are thinking the sky is falling and the market's crashing,
yeah.
We're not repeating 2008. Is that what you're telling me?
No, absolutely not. So I don't think in our lifetime we will see 2008 again.
Yay.
So we're looking at a pretty strong 2019 market?
I would say yes.
Okay.
What about all the new builds that have been going on? You know, they've been building in Folsom, they've been building in Roseville, in different locations. Do you think that added inventory is going to make it more, the market more even? Or what are you seeing, you know, for the amount of new building that's going on?
That's a very interesting question. So Freddie Mac published their report that we are short 2.5 million units nationwide. Mm-hmm. So we have a huge shortage in the units. That's why we see growth in construction going on pretty much anywhere around the country. Sacramento, for example, has a new development approved in Folsom Ranch, over 8,000 homes, which is going to be obviously they're not going to be they're not going to build 8,000 at the same time. In addition to Folsom, they're building in Roseville, they're building throughout Sacramento, Placer, and El Dorado County. So, and this is a sign of healthy economy and healthy real estate market and prices. So I did a little research in the past. So whenever we had a crash in the past, the real estate followed the construction. So if construction goes down, real estate goes down as well.
So construction's still pretty strong right now?
Construction is very strong.
Okay, okay.
Construction is very close, very strong, and then we have every year actually a higher number of building permits issued.
Oh, that's good news, actually.
That's very good news, yes.
You know, one of the things I heard is I've talked to a few of the people in the trades, and they're actually short on tradesmen because a lot of folks that were trained in expertise back in, you know, they fled the market when it crashed back in 2008. And a friend of mine, he runs a he's a part manager of a large electrical company. They will actually pay for the school to be trained electricians because there's a shortage of electricians.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's happening in the other trades as well. Is that they're at, and so a lot of these homes aren't getting built as fast, literally because there's not enough people to build them.
Yes, and unfortunately, California fires didn't help that either. So we have, you know, to 8,000-9,000 homes burned down. So people and contractors are more busy now, pretty much, and shortage is higher.
Yeah, there's a definite. I was talking to a friend of mine who's an electrician, owns a business in the Bay Area, and there's a definite need for workers. He says, I just don't have enough people.
So in other words, we go from a real estate conversation to the fact that, hey, if you need a job and you're a trade.
Yeah, become an electrical contractor.
Yeah, become an electrical contractor and you're good to go. That's great. One of the things I noticed, Amir, last year was that in May was when the prices peaked. And then they kind of slowly started tapering, you know, from June to July. How do you think the springtime is going to be? Because a lot of people go, oh, I'm going to wait to sell in the springtime.
Yeah, nobody has a crystal ball, unfortunately. But and I always recommend people not to wait too long, because if you wait till springtime, most people waiting till springtime, then you have higher competition. Higher competition brings the price down. So if you're planning to sell, it's probably a better time to list in January, February before everybody else. So, and you're right, last year we had May was a kind of top peak of the market, and then the prices dropped in June, July, August, which is supposed to be the strongest months of the month, of the year. So, and that was the first time after 5 years. Fortunately, that recovered. You know, we have a small price increase in December, the same reason, because low inventory.
Interesting. So the inventory really drove that. Okay, so we're seeing an interesting transition here. That's great news, actually, because especially with the construction being the way it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
So Nick, what do you know about? There's some other trends that you've been studying.
I found this map. It's a map of the United States. It's a 2018 rent trends by state. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, this is the monthly average rent for a one-bedroom unit, okay? A one-bedroom rental unit. And it just surprises me how our state compares to some of these other states out there. The average one-bedroom unit rent in the state of California is $1,608.
Wow.
Okay, $1,608.
And this was like December?
This was 2018, for 2018.
Oh, for just 2018.
Yeah, 2018. Okay. And you compare it to states like Texas, which is $897 a month. Okay, so we're double what rents are in Texas. Again, this is for a one-bedroom unit. States have actually decreased. Okay, California is one of the states that has actually increased in 2018, which we're all aware of.
Mm-hmm.
States like Utah has decreased. Utah is $693 a month. Wyoming is $660 a month. Washington State has decreased. They're at $1,106 a month. Alaska has decreased. I guess that earthquake didn't help over there. Some of the most expensive states, of course, Washington, D.C. Okay. Washington, D.C. Where is it? I was just looking at it. over here. Oh, yeah. Is $1,913 a month. So they actually beat California.
Barely.
New York, $1,633. They're just about the same. New York State.
Wow.
Okay, $1,633. Some of the most expensive ones, state of Maine, $1,333. Vermont, $1,400 a month. And because those are small states, you know, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and some of these states are just, it's just insane. Then I've got another chart, cities with the highest and lowest rents. Can you guess which city in the United States has the highest rent?
New York City.
Guess again, that's number two.
San Francisco?
San Francisco. San Francisco, $3,535 a month.
Say that again,
$3,535 a month for a one-bedroom unit.
Which is kind of crazy. So for $3,500, you can buy a $700,000 house anywhere else. I mean, with $700,000 budget, you can buy 4,000 square feet house in El Dorado Hills, you know, with a nice view and close to the lake and outdoor activities, instead of renting one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco.
Oh, my word.
So top 10 highest, okay? San Francisco, New York at $2,895, Cambridge, Massachusetts, $2,614, Berkeley, $2,449, Los Angeles, $2,369, Boston at $2,353, Washington, D.C. at $2,348, San Jose at $2,319, Oakland at $1,950, and then Miami, Florida at $1,831.
I cannot believe it is cheaper in Miami than it is in San Francisco.
But five of those states.
Wow.
Are in California.
Five of those cities are in California.
Five of those cities are in California. Okay, I got to go with lowest, okay?
Okay.
We'll just start with the lowest, period. Is the lowest Springfield, Maryland. Springfield, Missouri. Springfield, Missouri, $503 a month.
Wow.
Okay. Then you've got Evansville, Indiana, Wichita, Kansas, Toledo, Detroit. Detroit was interesting, but, you know, Detroit has been depressed for a long time. $651 in Detroit. So if you want cheap rents, that's where you can go.
That's where you can go. Wow.
Tucson, Arizona, Lubbock, Texas, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Green Bay.
You know, cheeseheads over there.
Yeah, where it's like minus 25 right now, probably. I don't know. But that's crazy. So, Nick, what do you know what the rents are like in Sacramento in the area?
Sacramento rents are, I'm going to say, around between $900 to $1,200 a month. For a one bedroom unit in the Sacramento County. Obviously, cities like Folsom are much more expensive. You know, mm-hmm. they're almost $2,000 a month there. So it depends where you're looking at.
Okay,
but yeah, that's where they're at.
So what is the impact of these rents? I mean, what is it that people could really learn or take away from this?
Buy a house.
Buy a house.
No, like Amir said, I mean, if you're going to be paying that much. Okay, rent for a home in San Francisco. I mean, seriously, you got to step back and go, wait a minute. Okay, if I don't absolutely have to live in this city, mm-hmm. okay, and look outside of the city, I could buy a home. I could buy a home outside the city that's as expensive, okay, maybe even a little more affordable. And of course, there's a lot of advantages to owning a home mm-hmm. than there are to renting a property.
You know, a lot of folks, they have a trade-off, though. They go, well, you know, when you rent, then all I got to do is call the landlord when something goes wrong and I don't have to worry about it and that sort of thing. And so they kind of have this view that renting kind of makes life a little bit easier.
Depends on your lifestyle. If that's what you want, okay, if you're not looking to settle for any long period of time, mm-hmm. Then maybe renting is the best thing for you, okay? But the opposite is true, too. There's a lot of advantages for owning a home, okay? Financial, tax-wise, the fact that you build equity. I still think owning a home is one of the best investments out there. Do you agree with me, Amir?
I agree. So, I mean, let's face it, if you're renting the one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco, you're going to pay $210,000 in 5 years in the rent. And that $210,000, close to $250,000, will be just gone. I mean, you're not building your own equity. You don't do anything. So on the other hand, if you spend $210,000 in the mortgage payments in your own house, so you're building equity right away, plus, you know, you take advantage of market going up, you know, that's a risk of market going down. But as long as you okay with monthly payment, it doesn't matter whether the market is going up or down. You have to live somewhere. So that way actually makes sense to own the house. In addition, you have a huge tax benefits, etc. And then are proud of, you know, American dream.
Well, that's true. But then you have upkeep of a home. You know, they say the joys of home ownership, where you've got to, you know, repair this, repair that. What about the person who's renting and they're going, you know, how am I going to scrape together a down payment? How about the closing costs? How am I going to put all this together? I mean, is there anything out there that can actually help a person who is renting, but they don't have a whole bunch of money in the bank to actually come in there and make a deal with something? Is there other programs out there like that?
Yes, there's a down payment assistance program. I helped one of my clients buy the house with $1,100 out of pocket expense. That includes down payment and everything else. Yeah. $1,100. As long as you have $2,000 in your account, you can buy a house, assuming your credit it's okay.
Yeah.
That's different programs coming up now with the 3-2-1. It's one of the programs. They have a reduced interest rate for first 3 years, so to help you get up and running with the mortgage payments. Especially that's good for somebody who is expecting a pay increase, or maybe who is engaged and looking to get married. So now suddenly in next year they're going to have double income coming in the house. So 3-2-1 program is a very good option as well. So it doesn't cost much to buy. So you can buy a house as long as you have, let's say, $2,000 in your account. You can buy a house. Mm-hmm. You have to have more money in order to rent a house. In order to rent a house, you have to have security deposit and first maybe last month's payment. So you have to have $4,000-$5,000 just to rent a house. And a good chance you may not get a security back or part of the security back.
Yeah, there's and like Amir mentioned, there's a lot of programs out there. One of them that comes to mind is the Cal HAFA program, which is a down payment assistance program. It's a very good program, works very well. You know, a lot of people think, well, I've got to have perfect credit. No, not really. I talk to a loan professional, and there's a lot of people that we work with that we could recommend. But absolutely, you know, home ownership is not as difficult as a lot of people make it to be. Okay, there's, of course, the VA programs. I mean, you're literally walking into a home with almost no money down. Like Amir said, you got $2,000, you can get into a home. So that's not the obstacle, okay? It's making the decision, this is what I want to do. You know, let me take a look at my credit, what I need to do, and then talk to a mortgage professional who puts you on the right path. And then we can help you find the home.
And don't forget Heroes Home Credit. So if you're one of the hero groups, military, firefighters, police, medical professionals, so teachers, you can get up to $7,000 buying the house. So pretty much you make money buying a house.
Wow.
Almost.
So the idea then is really if you just decide, hey, I want to buy a house, there's actually a path that you can go on that that's not going to be as scary as you really originally thought it would be. And that you would be able to then go ahead and just start moving forward. So the real thing is decide to buy a house.
Yeah, decide to buy a house.
Right.
Correct. Okay.
That's great.
And we'll help you with the steps. You know, I love dealing with new first-time home buyers. And I always ask them when we're done, when they actually buy the house, I always ask them, was it as bad as you thought it would be? Was it as overwhelming? And they go, no, it wasn't that bad. You know, it really wasn't that. I don't know why I waited so long.
Yeah.
So a lot of people qualify. And like Amir said, renting nowadays, you've got to come up with a first, okay, a deposit and the last. That's a lot of money. That's a couple thousand bucks right there. And when you stop and think about it, you're going, wait a minute, what are you getting for that rent? You know, you're literally paying somebody else's mortgage. Whether you want to or not, you're paying for a mortgage.
Yeah, you are. And the other thing, too, is certain landlords or certain apartment managers, they're not as responsive to the situation. You know, you may have a problem with a leak here or something going wrong. They may get to it, 2 months, and you're having to deal with it. What's your recourse, you see? And so then you have the headache of dealing with management that's not responsive. You're dealing with broken things. You're dealing with stuff that just becomes a headache. Whereas once you own your own home, then it's something that you take, like you said, the pride of ownership, but you're fixing up your house and you're going to begin to manage that how you want to see it done. And so that's another big point. Well, let's transition to another point here. And this for the real estate professional, it's about technology trends. technology trends have been emerging over the past 2 or 3 years, but they're really seeing that in 2019, it's going to really begin to explode. It's going to become much more mainstream. A lot of agents are already seeing that. But one of the things that I was noticing is that part of being able to separate yourself from other agents is having a comfortable knowledge. And that's why I want to stress that word, a comfortable knowledge with the different real estate apps that are out there. Because a lot of your buyers now are starting to use those. They're starting to rely upon those. And mm-hmm. and if you don't know how to interface with that, or if you don't have your own apps to suggest to them, then you're kind of left out on the edge and confidently interact with new buyers. And a lot of those are millennial buyers and Gen X buyers. They are very comfortable with doing everything online now. But one of the things that I've noticed is that you have a great amount of marketing ability when you have these apps that will brand yourself and your information. And then if, let's say you're at an open house, or let's say you go door to door, and instead of you just walking away and saying, oh, thank you, it was nice seeing you, you say, hey, let me text you this app. And then what happens is that app goes into their phone. It's as simple as a text. It has your branding. And there's a variety of apps now where they can pull up what mortgages rates would be, how much it would cost, what a net sheet would be, you know, how much the, you know, would it cost for them to buy the house. They can search. They have all these amazing maps that are even more detailed. So instead of having Zillow or Trulia or Realtor.com, you can actually get app. There are apps that are available that you can brand yourself with them, so that when they have that and they pull that up, number one, you can get alerted to that. And number two, you're staying on the edge of what's going on, and you're able to communicate with your clients on a regular basis about that. But these apps are not going away. They're actually getting stronger. And the idea of being able to be in front of that, instead of like wondering, oh, really, what's that? You know, and then you look like a dog, you know, trying to listen to it, right, with your head cocked to one side going, really? You know, and then, and as soon as you have that, that look that you're not comfortable with it, they'll go, well, okay, all right, well, it was nice meeting you, bye, and they're gone. And they're going to look for somebody that they have that confidence in. And so one of the things I would really recommend is whatever association that you're a member of, look on their calendar training and go to training on how to use these apps. If you talk to your mortgage person, talk to your title company, find out what are their apps, and then take a class on that. Learn it, absorb it, use those apps yourselves over and over again, so that when you're able to talk to your clients, it's just second nature to you, okay? As opposed to, you know, you try to do it and then it's clunky, and then, you know, they have these, you know, it's like misfires and that sort of thing. And all that does is it just causes your credibility and your sense of expertise fall off. Okay. And
I fully agree with it. So that so many, don't be dinosaur realtor. So there's so many apps and online tools and systems. And yeah, I know. So that's from all ages. I mean, we have realtors from 18 years old to, you know, even over 100 years old throughout the nation.
And let's face it, guys, the largest segment of the population buying homes right now are the millennials. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. That was 39% 2016. I haven't, they were expected close to 40% last year. I haven't looked at statistics yet. But millennials, and they grew up with their phones. I mean, yep. Let's face it too. So everybody from us has a phone, and even we go to bathroom with a phone. I mean, most of us.
How so, did you know?
I saw you.
You saw me.
But the thing is, phone is, and then a new generation growing up, so they won't know a life without a phone or cell phone,
right,
or a smartphone. So the thing is, the phone is it's lifestyle. I mean, you can do business, you can do pretty much everything on the phone. You know, date. You know, people finding spouses on the phone, you know, they
apps, oh, yeah,
and, you know, everything. So it's just logically now, so you can buy a house on the phone soon, you know. So you don't want to be left out as a real estate agent. You have to be in the trend, because 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there was no MLS, right? So there was only lists. And then internet came, and then MLS came, and then it's changing so fast. So now the everybody has access to this pretty much the same data online, because it's so much spread, right? So and you as a real estate professional have to stay in technology, you know, steps. Otherwise, you're going to be left out.
And that's important, that the different support parts of being a real estate agent, mortgage, title, escrow companies, find out what they have. Find out what they offer to you, okay? Because they want to have business with you. They want to have the business connection with you. Make a point, make it an intentional point to find out what they have. Learn those apps, okay? Not just look at it and go, oh, okay, that's nice. But be able to go in and really understand it and work with it. And that just takes repetition, okay? And a lot of times you go, ah, I don't have time for that. Ah, you know, how are these apps going to really help me? No, it's huge, because what happens is millennials, if you've ever worked with them, as soon as you say something, what are they going to do? They get on their phone, yeah, and they'll
verify it.
Verify it.
Yeah.
They go on Google, what? Or they have their own apps.
Yeah.
And so don't be afraid to ask them, hey, what apps do you like using? Okay. And so if you sound confident in that, and you're not acting like an old fogey, that old dinosaur, hey, what kind of app is that? I don't know. You whippersnapper, you know? No,
young whippersnapper.
Exactly. But you sound intelligent and understanding, and so then they're more than happy to share with you, hey, I'm looking up how many sex offenders are in the neighborhood. Really, what app is that? You know, learn those things. So don't be afraid to even ask millennial buyers, even at an open house or people that you know, because you'll be surprised. There are a lot of apps that they're using,
yep,
that you have no idea about.
Yeah.
So the idea is go on an app safari, figure out what's going on, what's trending in apps, and not just a Google search of that, actually talk to people. And
become familiar with them.
And become familiar with
them.
You
know, be proactive, not reactive.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the main thing is to really, this year is, the trend is learn the apps. Don't consider it a waste of time. It actually sets you apart in marketing and sets you apart from other agents, because there's a whole scale of them. I mean, I had an agent that still hand wrote out all their contracts. Wow. And handed it in.
Well, I had an agent 3 years ago. He, maybe 5 years ago. So he wouldn't accept an offer via email, only fax. Oh, and wow. I didn't use the fax. I mean, that was, I pretty much stopped using fax maybe last 8-10 years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, still dinosaur agents out there. So,
yep,
unfortunately.
Yeah, there are.
I had an offer come in. It was handwritten. And the guy messed up the first page, which is the most important page. So I called him up. And I said, you made this mistake, please clarify it. So he literally took it, put white out, and sent it back. When you present these offers, you know, and you talk to your buyer, the buyer goes, yeah, let's not use that guy.
Exactly.
That says a lot about you as an agent if you're not using technology.
Right.
You know, it says a lot about you. And people are smart out there. Mm-hmm. The sellers are smart. The buyers are smart. Can't be doing stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, if you're serious about this business and you want to make some money, you can't be doing stuff like that.
Yep. So anyway, folks, it's really been glad you guys were able to listen in on this. We're going to have a lot of different topics in the future. So please subscribe, go to your main place where you subscribe to your podcast, and subscribe to realestatesteps.net.
.net is the website, right?
Our website's realestatesteps.net. And then our podcast is called Real Estate Steps, and that'll be available at iTunes and Stitcher and all the other main areas where you download your podcasts. On behalf of MBA, Nick, Bob, and Amir, thank you for listening.
All right, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to Real Estate Steps Podcast. We'll be back next week with some fresh topics about real estate news that's pertinent and relevant to you. You can follow us at Facebook or Twitter at Real Estate Steps. Be sure to subscribe to us at your favorite podcast streaming site. Also, you can follow us at realestatesteps.net and contact us, email us. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week.